So then all I had to do was place my steak in this example, which was the first time I tried. Who doesn't like steak? Put it in a plastic bag, submerge it in the water, and just let it sit just the right temperature for a few hours. Let me tell you, when that steak came out, it was good. I had my fork in one hand, my knife in the other, and I realized I didn't need the knife. I just cut it to the side of my fork. And I put it in my mouth, and it was tender and juicy. And boy, that really tasted. Well, let's just say it tasted so good that I probably ate a little bit more than I should have. Had a bit of a bellyache later on. But I share this story with you today just because as human beings, we just want things that are good, don't we? We are attracted to goodness. So we can see something good and say, yes, that's the way things should be. And this pairs a lot in the gospel story for today, because Jesus has a very important question to ask his disciples. First thing he asked them was, who do the people say that I am? And he got a lot of wrong answers. Like, well, some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist, some say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Then Jesus followed up with the people that were closest to him. And he said, who do you say that I am? And here's the big question, and probably the most important question any of us have to ponder in our lives. Who do you say that Jesus is? Because the answer to that question will affect every other aspect of your life. St. Peter got the question right, or got the answer right. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Which actually raises another question of who is God. When you hear the word God, what do you think of? You know that theologians throughout the centuries have struggled with this, even trying to give a basic definition to the word God. And the best one I ever heard of was that God is a maximally perfect being. Or you might say, just for preaching purposes, that God is goodness itself. That God is goodness. And Jesus is that goodness made manifest in this world, is infusing this world with goodness, that is making a difference for good in this world. But if you don't understand that about God, then people just get off track. Perhaps that's why we've seen such less interest in religion and spirituality in recent years. Perhaps we've gotten off track of what people see God as. You know, on the one hand, some people might see God as just somebody who's caring and loving, but doesn't really do very much else, doesn't push us for transformation. And on the other extreme, someone might see God as kind of this arbitrary rule maker, saying, yes, these are the rules, and those are just the rules because that's why God said them. But without understanding why God set rules the way God did, then we can really get off track. I remember another time in my childhood when I was in elementary school, and we had a rule in elementary school, and that was important, specifically for the boys, no hats indoors. Does everybody else have that rule? I'm sure we've all heard that rule. But you know, one day, I got a brand new baseball cap. And it just wasn't any baseball cap. It had my school name on it. And I was so proud. It said Chittenango Bears right across the hat. This is great. So there I was, little kid, put that on. I'm up in the halls. Boy, I really felt hot stuff right then. Until the principal saw me. Take the hat off. Okay, took the hat off. Went about my business for a little while. Put the hat back on. Strut around. Until the principal saw me again. This time he was really upset. You know, but as a kid, I didn't understand the need for that rule. I didn't understand the reasons. I didn't understand that this was a social convention, this was polite, this was manners, not to be wearing a hat indoors. Now, to me, it just seemed arbitrary. And if we're not careful, not prayerfully, you can see God is just this cosmic cop or cosmic killjoy, just wanting to take all the fun and enjoyment out of life. But the truth is that God is good, and God is goodness itself. And the reason why God does provide instruction is to help lead us and transform us into new levels of goodness. And when you think of what's good, you might think of things that are pleasing, like their steak. I can call that steak good because it was pleasing. Or something that is useful, or something that solves problems, or benefits others. Every bit of transformation that God invites you into, that God is bringing about in this world, is to increase goodness, to increase these ideas of things being pleasing and useful and solving problems and benefiting others. Been having some fun with some discussions at home about all things phones. And my son's been looking at me lately and saying, "Hey Daddy, were there phones when you were a kid?" I said, "Yes, there were phones, but they were attached to the wall." "Oh, can you play games on them?" "No, we can't play games on those phones." "Oh, well, can you FaceTime?" "Like, no, we couldn't FaceTime on those phones." "Well, could they play music?" "No, my phone could not play music." Just kind of sat there. "Because I don't like those phones." I can understand that. And to be honest, having my cell phone right now is streaming our service for people at home. Certainly do a lot more than phones used to. Certainly they have evolved. Within our own lives, you know, we evolve in our relationship with God. As you evolve your knowledge and understanding and behaviors towards goodness. And in the Anglican tradition, we talk of three sources of how this comes about. Now I'll put them in order of reason, scripture, and tradition. You know, by reason alone, you can get a certain measure of goodness, or a certain understanding of goodness. You know, we can tell if something interests you or interests somebody else, but yeah, that's not good. Something nourishes and builds somebody up. But reason alone will only get you to a certain point. From then on in, we need help. We need some divine favor. That's why theologians talk about the gifts of faith, hope, and love, elevating things like reason, and eventually bringing it to perfection. So in order to elevate reason, we need additional help from things like scripture. That's why we read scripture in church. That's why we read it daily in the daily office. Because hearing scripture, we hear God's goodness communicated to the world, to people in different times and different places. And reflecting on scripture helps you to get to a place where you're saying, "Well, maybe there's something here I hadn't considered before. Maybe my mind is elevated to a new understanding of goodness through what has been revealed in Scripture." Another place we have for help is the traditions of the Church. Looking at people that have gone before us, people like St. Francis or St. Thomas Aquinas, who just had these extraordinary lives, these extraordinary relationships with God, and they leave behind communities and writings and all kinds of things that you can look at and say to yourself, "If somebody here is really has something important to say. There's somebody here that can really help me." I think St. Paul really outlined this process well. When he was writing to the Romans, he was saying to them, "Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to tell what the will of God is. God's good and acceptable and perfect will." So right there we have aspects of transformation, of being transformed by goodness, and the fact that God is goodness itself. St. Paul describing God's will as good and acceptable and perfect. So if you do nothing else but focus your energy there, on reason, on the scriptures, and on the church tradition. You will do well. You'll be able to grow in your understanding of goodness, learn what is good by reflecting on scriptures and the traditions of the church. And you'll be able to do what is good through your actions, because when you understand something, it's much easier to do it. You can always grow in goodness, but it always starts from understanding who God is. This is why Christ asked the question, who do you say that I am? You know, if he's just another guy, that's one thing. But if he is the Son of God, who is bringing perfect goodness into this world, that is something else entirely. Who do you understand God to be? It's the most important question you have to wrestle with throughout your life. Does understanding God bring about an understanding of goodness? And following God will help you to do what is good. Because as human beings, that really is our deepest desire. Our deepest desire is pursuing this goodness. Amen. Amen.